You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Everybody, it's Thursday. We're on the tail end of the week. Thank God. The parade of horribles continues. We'll talk about some of them today. Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If watching is more your thing, don't worry. We got you covered. You can find myself, my fabulous guests, my amazing folks that help put the show on the air in the booths today. It's Jess P.S. You can find us at Civic Media's YouTube channel and, of course, on Instagram, X, and the Book of Faces at Maggie Dawn Show, and watch us all and participate that way. I've got a great co-host back finally in the chair
back
with
finally.
Me.
Yep.
Tom Paulsowitz. Yes, welcome back, Tom. Two-time congressional candidate, a Navy veteran, a small business owner, and an overall really reasonable, nice man. I'm always happy to have you with me, Tom. Welcome back. Thoughts on these first, it's not even a full 3 weeks of Trump 2.0, I know.
Right. Feels like years. I think the big thing for me, taking a step back and trying to sift through what's real and what's not real, is it feels like the Republicans in Congress have given the keys to cutting to the White House. One, so they don't have to take responsibility for it. They don't have to vote on it. And then two, it's exactly what they wanted to happen. I mean, Project 2025 is being, the playbook's being run.
Yep.
And I can't remember who said, I think it was Tim Walz who said, you don't create a playbook unless you want to
intend to use it. Yes.
Right. And so it's true. And I think bigger picture, though, is there's so much chaos. And I think I'm mostly disappointed in the Democrat response when it comes to the legal side.
Yeah.
It feels like we're behind.
Yep.
And that's just where my brain's at right now.
It's funny that you mentioned those things, because now I'm starting my show with a few quick things, because every day there's so much noise, much crap going on. My few quick things this afternoon, I don't even know what time of day it is, Tom. There's so much going on. My few quick things today include these items. First, apparently Roger Goodell and the NFL have solved all of the racism problems, because right. Goodell has now scrubbed the phrase "end racism" from all of the NFL uniforms and helmets. They're going with "choose love" instead. I guess they're bending a knee to Donald Trump as well. Your
I don't
thoughts
understand.
On
that? Right. I guess choose love is less offensive than ending racism. I don't know. I mean, it's bizarre, but I read that and, I think Philadelphia had end racism on their goalposts and Kansas City had choose love. And I think they just decided to go with one is the way the NFL described it.
That's but the
I
had spin. The same,
that's the spin. I had the exact same reaction. Like, why would you take that off? Cause I guess we're in a post-racism world.
And we're going to, that kind of ties in even saying the word racism. Tom, you and I are going to have a discussion today about, okay, let's talk about the First Amendment. Let's talk about what censorship is in this new MAGA 2.0 accelerating environment. And so we're going to come back to that, folks. Put a pin in your mind right there. Quick thing number two this afternoon is that a federal judge has halted Donald Trump's buyout offer to federal employees. Corey, what this means, reporting was that some 40,000 plus employees had responded to this email that one of Musk's minions had executed once they took over sensitive servers, and said that, yes, they'd leave in exchange for getting paid for 8 months for not working, which again, not really a thing in government. We don't do this. Your reaction, this sort of gets to your point about what are Democrats doing from a legal perspective to push back. Here again, yet another federal judge stepping in to say this is not legal.
This is crazy. But I think two things here. One is you know, just cutting the workforce, sure, it saves money, but they still have an obligation to whatever that administration part of whatever they're doing, that still has to get done. And I would be looking around as a worker going, wait a minute, am I going to be the only one left? Like, do I have to do everybody else's job? I mean, it's crazy to think that you would do it this way. I had actually read today that they had just pushed out the date to next Monday. So it was still potentially going to happen. But it also goes back to the purse strings and where is Congress in this? And I have not heard one peep from anybody in Congress or Senate saying that they are against this or for it, or they're just letting it happen.
Do you mean Republicans? Because Tim Kaine got on the floor last week and said,
I'm talking Republicans.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Although MSNBC, I was just reading as we were walking in here, quoted an unnamed, of course, didn't want to go on the record with this, an unnamed Republican saying something along the lines of, well, of course, a whole bunch of stuff, things that Donald Trump is doing and these executive orders and these actions, of course, they're illegal, but I don't mind it one bit. Let's just keep going, torch the whole thing. Quick thing number three this morning. We just entered our number 26 of the Democrats in the Senate filibustering continuous debate over Trump's nominee of Russell Vogt to head up the Office of Management and Budget. It was the OMB from whence this insane memo that basically proposed to, I don't know, stop all federal spending, maybe. But maybe if it just used the word race or woman or transgender, we're not exactly sure. And then they took it back, but not really. Yeah, Russell Vogt is the guy that Trump wants to run the OMB. He, of course, was one of the primary drivers and authors of Project 2025. He's a burn the entirety of government down sort of a dude, very controversial. Tom, your reactions to quick thing number three, and then I'll give folks my take on it.
I don't understand how it's even remotely effective, besides just, you know, filibustering a vote that's going to happen anyways that you're going to lose. I'm more disappointed in the rest of the confirmations that have been happening.
This is the problem, right, Tom? Like, it's the OMB guy, this job that no Americans really know anything. That's the one where you're like, you know what? I'm going to get up and debate for 3 hours. Like, Democrats, how about the the RFK Jr. guy?
Right.
How
Tulsi
about
Gabbard,
the Cash Patel?
Bondi,
yes,
right.
Come on.
Well, this goes on and on.
And apparently, there are no more reasoned conservatives anywhere in Congress in either of the chambers. Susan Collins gone, Lisa Murkowski, all bending a knee right alongside Roger Goodell.
Well, they've all been told they're either on board or they're off board and they're going to lose their next election. You know, and when you have the richest man in the world behind the scenes with all the money they need in order to primary any of these people, you know, we're at the level, this is... You know, through history, we've never been in this place where one person with so much money has had so much ability to change the way we do government and possibly get rid of democracy. And that's where we sit today.
Yeah, I've got a little think piece I've been writing, and the title of it is There's No Mandate, right? And no mandate, not only by the numbers, if you just do the math, but also no mandate for what's actually happening right now. Every single person, myself included, I believe in more efficient and effective government.
Absolutely.
And listen, there's a concept called basically zeroed out budgeting, where in a government entity, you reduce all department budgets, all their line items to zero. You got to prove up every expenditure. This is what it does. Here's how I'm metricing it. Here's how I'm going to prove if it's working. You know, you can take these different approaches. I think a lot of us, even those that disapprove of Trump, would say, oh, if Elon Musk came in with a genuine and good faith approach to trying to audit and find these weaknesses in some of these enormous government programs, yeah, most Americans for that.
Please.
That ain't yes. what this is.
No.
And the fact we're going to talk about how do we know if it's working to that today. That's one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about.
Right.
Because, okay, we want it to be more efficient and effective. How do we tell? Or do we just take Elon Musk's word for it, right? Like this.
Exactly.
This is scary. Folks, my special guest co-host, you're going to find him here every Thursday with me. His name is Tom Paulswitz. I like to call him one of the most reasonable guys in politics. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. You can join this one at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So we got done with my three quick things. Every day, got to do the quick things because there's so very much
so
happening.
Much.
They also serve, I think, Tom, as a good place setter for some of our topics today. Everybody, Tom's going to be with me through the whole show. We're going to get to some sports later on in the show. Got to have a little comic or at least a political relief this afternoon. But the three things that we're going to talk about are what is free speech, really? Right? Like, what does it necessitate? What's its role in democracy? What is censorship? That's going to bridge into a discussion amongst Tom and I about how do we know it's working? And what is the metric? How do we know if government's becoming more efficient or if we're just eliminating entire swaths of government and not even knowing if the results are a net negative or plus for middle class regular folks? Last and certainly not least, if we can get there, we're going to talk about the local impacts of Donald Trump's approach to immigration, what I'm going to call like the ethnic cleansing that is now going on courtesy of Donald Trump and ICE. What does that mean for you, your family, your pocketbook, the few core industries in Wisconsin, agriculture, manufacturing, tourism? We're going to talk about all of that and so much more. Again, be sure to join our great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We got John from Madison. You're hopping in. Thanks, John, for calling. Say hi to Tom. What do you got this afternoon for us?
Well, I'm trying to come to some sort of a feeling about Donald Trump, and I have the feeling that he should be called what he is, a criminal, and we shouldn't let him get away with what he is doing. And we should say that this is what criminals allow. He is a criminal. What did he have? 34 counts against him? I don't know.
Yes.
But anyway, I mean.
We got to take a quick little step away. John, thanks so much for calling. Yes, he is a convicted felon. Period. Full stop.
Felon.
He can't sue me over that one because it's a fact.
It's true.
Subject to appeal. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. Be right back with Tom Paulswitz. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome, everybody. It is all about control. Mind control. Is your mind controlled? We discuss. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got a great guest co-host with me. His name's Tom Paulswitz. We've got Jess P.S. helping us in the booth today. And your input is always welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. First topic of the afternoon is free speech and censorship, and what actually, like, what does this look like in practice? What does the First Amendment in fact protect? What does it not protect? And what are the next 4 years going to look like, both within government and in the information sewer formerly known as social media. We're going to discuss that. I want to hear what your thoughts are. Are you having experiences on social media or trying to access information on government federal websites that is becoming disturbing to you? Are you completely fine with the fact that some federal websites are basically shut down? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because it seems to me that the MAGAverse has claimed as if they're the ones that are protecting free speech. And we're going to get into that. But I think that that is a bald-faced lie.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolute lie. And just for some context here, one of the first executive orders Donald Trump signed was one titled Restoring Freedom of Speech and Ending Federal Censorship. And in its preamble, it slammed the Biden administration for supposedly, quote, censoring American speech on online platforms. It asserts that, quote, government censorship of speech is intolerable in a free society and proclaims its intent to, quote, secure the right of the American people to engage in constitutionally protected speech free from interference by federal employees or federal programs. We need to unbundle this, and then we're going to go to the phones and the text lines. People, I think, are going to have a lot to say about this. You all are, of course, welcome. Tom, the First Amendment protects government speech being impaired by the government. It doesn't reach privately owned platforms, private businesses. You can tell somebody to get the heck out of your house. They can't stand in your living room and say whatever right. the heck they want. So the First right. Amendment only applies to government, right?
Well, I think it applies to more than that. It applies your ability to be able to say what you think. What it doesn't do, it shouldn't protect you from anything, any responsibility of whatever you say, and then the accountability of whatever actions other people take from it, right? And that, I think that's been proven over history. I think the bigger picture, though, you know, what has happened is we're almost in this post-fact world where there's so many news organizations, platforms, whatever, have given up the idea of trying to, quote, fact check because there's still debates about what are the real facts. And this goes back to, I think, Kellyanne Conway saying, you know, we should use alternative facts when we're discussing things. But bigger picture, the thing I've been thinking about is, all right, if you can say whatever you want, what is the responsibility you also have?
Yep.
And to me, that's the key. Because if you continue to provide disinformation and misinformation, what are you responsible for? What are you accountable for when it comes to the actions of other people because of that, those statements? And I think that's the area where we're in right now.
Absolutely. And what I meant to say by the First Amendment only applying to government is that it is the government which is constrained in its ability to prohibit, inhibit, censor, etc. speech. That yes. is not an absolute limitation, right?
Correct.
The government yes. can and has, and the Supreme Court has upheld limitations on child pornography, right? Exploitative materials on pornography itself. We also have upheld regulations and interpretations of law that cause yeah. an immediate threat to human health, safety, and welfare. People are pretty familiar with the idea that you can't stand up in a crowded theater and yell fire and go, oh, but that's my free speech right.
Right.
So I just mean, as a legal basis, part of the narrative that came out of the MAGAverse was the idea that the Biden administration was colluding with social media platforms to suppress certain kinds of speech. Right. And that is, there was no government regulation. There was no executive order. There was no directive. Nope. There was nope. no legally binding. There was no even papered agreement. There were discussions yeah. about the very real national security risks that can come from basically troll farms in places like China and Russia that yes. put out gobs of misinformation onto social media platforms that can help destabilize our democracy, promote misinformation about, you know, global pandemics and such.
Yeah, that and is to be clear,
that is a big difference, right?
to be clear, that speech is about disinformation and misinformation. And Republicans were very upset that whatever they were doing was now being put, you know, it was basically the light was shown on it, and they did not appreciate that. And they want to have unfettered ability to be able to say
lie.
Whatever it is they want to say. To put a point on it, to lie whenever they want to.
And to hate, to put out some of the most vile content on social media platforms.
Yes.
The irony here, and there's twofold, and then I want to go to the text lines and the phones, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The irony here is twofold. One is, we know as soon as Elon Musk took control of the platform formerly known as Twitter, he started elevating what I'm going to call white supremacy content, highly discriminatory content, pro-Trump content. He was doing the very thing that Donald Trump in the MAGAverse complained of, suppressing speech that they didn't favor and elevating through manipulation of algorithm speech that they did prefer. That Mark Zuckerberg saying in a bended knee way while cutting a $25 million check to Donald Trump for the lawsuit against Meta, I'm not going to fact check anymore. Oh, but you're still using the algorithms to ensure that you are maximizing the monetization of content that drives engagement, which tends to be this vile, hate-filled rhetoric. We're going to return in just a couple of moments, folks. We're going to take your calls and texts. My special guest host, his name is Tom Paulswitz. Is Donald Trump actually the guy that's driving the suppression of speech and censorship? We discuss. I've given you irony number one of their mantling themselves with the American flag and saying, we're free speech warriors. I'll give you irony number two when we come back. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, as my colleague Earl Ingram likes to call it. We're discussing in this first hour what actually is censorship, because all of the hubbub and garbage coming out of Donald Trump's mouth is so misleading. Being concerned about the influence of enemies of the United States on social media platforms is not censorship, right?
Right.
The social media platforms are not government-owned platforms, so they can control it or not control it in any way that they wish. And let's be clear about how they're controlling it. They're controlling it to maximize profits. It is why we have entered into the information sewer. You put on top of that irony number one, which is anybody that studies information and social media has basically been able to track, measure, and demonstrate that Elon Musk is now suppressing pro-democracy, pro-democratic party, pro-democratic candidates, pro-progressive sort of content and elevating the hate speech, the MAGAverse, all that nonsense. So he's doing what Trump said they weren't supposed to do. But this time it just benefits Trump. Here's the second thing about this. We now know that Donald Trump, through executive orders and the people that he has installed within executive branch agencies, are now keyword searching and scrubbing content from the government websites and punishing employees who have spoken about certain things. Here's some of the words that have been flagged. Like, there are documents that are like, here are the words to flag and go search the government database for these things. Activism, female, woman, diversity, diverse backgrounds, enhance the diversity, community equity, community diversity, Black and Latinx, Latino, Latina, underrepresented, underappreciated, historically marginalized. I can go on and on. At the CDC, many of my friends in medicine today freaking out because data has disappeared from the CDC websites. This is actual government censorship. This is actually the government suppressing the First Amendment rights of both of its employees and our rights to be informed as a citizenry. Tom, your thoughts about this? I mean, isn't it so important for people to understand that this is happening right now?
Oh, it's happening right before our eyes. And I think the other thing, I mean, you just hit on the CDC. That's our information.
Yes.
Like, we own that information. We as taxpayers have bought that information. We did the studies. That's ours. You can't hide it from us. Right.
And I
understand if you don't
doing,
like
right?
it. Right. But so there should be some legal cause to be able to bring that information back. But you had talked about the words.
Yeah.
And I will tell you two words that are not on that list.
Oh, isn't.
Those are two words that are not on that list. And when you think about what's actually happening, you know, it has nothing to do with DEI. This is not about, you know, the diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's all about they want to remake government into a Christian nationalistic approach.
Yeah.
And so therefore, this is the way to do it. And you're right. This
by suppressing speech, by trying to suppress ideas, by removing books from libraries, right? Like, these are all versions along the spectrum of censorship and mind control, right? Let's go to the phones. We got a whole bunch of people want to get in on this. Dick from Madison, you're up first, sir. What do you have to say?
Well, real quick, I think we can all agree that he's already dropped some 10 points. I'm talking about Trump. An approval rating. There's a lot of people that are very unhappy, even that voted for him, correct?
Yes.
So there's a block right there. We don't have 4 years to play around with this, in my mind. We need to shoot for 22 months from now in the midterms to make him a lame duck. And I don't want to believe it can't be done because George Bush the Elder had approval ratings of over 90% in 1991 and lost.
And he was a one-termer.
92.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so we can make this guy a lame duck president in 22 months, and I think it behooves us to go that route and not wait any 4 years.
I hear you, Dick.
George, I think that's a great point. My concern is where are we going to be 22 months from now? What will be left?
Well, and I think we have to walk and chew gum. We have to worry about the midterms. We got to worry about the state Supreme Court election on April 1st. We're already in early voting for the primary, which is February 8th. You can check out your ballot. Make sure you're registered at myvote.wi.gov. Please, please, please do that. I just reminded my folks who are snowbirds in Tucson. Did you guys sign up for your absentee ballots? They did. I'm very proud of them. They got it done. Check on your neighbors and friends, folks that might be snowbirding. Make sure they're getting their absentee ballots. We can do that, and we have to worry about the harm and the impacts that are going to be felt for many people throughout this country, but will be most acutely harmful for folks that live on the edge, right? Like, that's where it's going. The hurt will be the worst first. It will spread, but it will be the worst hurt first to those that are on the edge. Tom from Jackson, you're up, sir. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hi. I'd like to talk for like 1 minute about the results of the election, and I've been paying attention closely to it. And one thing I've learned is that every rural county throughout the whole country turned red, everyone. And the elections are won not just by how many people vote, but by the districts and stuff, you know, themselves more spread out, and rural makes a difference. And I live in a rural area, and I know most people out here are some sort of Christian, and they are pro-life. And I need to stress that the Democrats are not focusing on that voting block, and they need to finally start paying attention to that voter, the pro-life voter, and to come sort of some sort of middle point with the right on the pro-life issue. Otherwise, they're gonna there's a chance they'll lose again, just like we did this time.
I think those are great points. Where does all the other stuff, though, come into play? If you vote just on pro-life, what are you willing to put up with, or what are you willing to see happen to this country based on that? You know, if you take that one issue and put it aside, is anything alarming to you at this point?
I'm not saying that I'm not alarmed. I most certainly am. I most certainly am. and I listen to MSNBC and stuff like that, but I'm telling you, it's a fact.
Yeah.
It's a one-issue thing for many of these people, and it's about time the Democrats realize it, honestly. And they're going to lose again. I mean, it's amazing we lost this time. But
I hear your concern, Tom, and again, I come back to this concept of we got to walk and chew gum and maybe pat our belly and our heads all at the same time. And that is, to me, one of the reasons that I spent an hour yesterday going through Bishop Marianne Buddy's sermon on January 21st is that she spoke very plainly about the fundamental tenets of Christianity, but that are also the tent poles that help stand up our democracy. And that is, if you are pro-life, then you must agree with me in that we must protect and defend the fundamental dignity of every human being, that we must be honest, that we must tell the truth, and that lastly, we must approach these questions with a deep sense of humility. So I have a respect for people that make a religious decision or a faith-based decision about reproductive freedoms. I'm not going to tell you what your religion tells you, but I will ask you, you claim to be pro-life. Tell me what that means once that fetus is born. Tell me, are you pro-life when it is an immigrant whose only legal infraction is a civil violation? They are not criminals. The Trump press secretary lied. Simply because you are here without legal sanction does not make you a criminal. That is a civil infraction. Do you care about that person? Do you care? Are you pro their life too? Or is it okay to round people up, shackle them, stick them on an airplane that tops 100 degrees, turn the air conditioning off, and listen and allow human beings to roast on an airplane? Is that pro-life too? And I think your point, Tom, is well taken, that we those that care deeply about what I'm going to say, all lives, need to figure out how to talk to people who believe differently than us on a given particular single standalone issue. Because I don't think a lot of Christians are going to be super comfortable with how these things go in these next years.
Well, and just how many people are going to die because we've cut off aid around the world?
Children, specifically, children. Right? Children. Like USAID's one of its major mandates is child hunger and starvation.
But Maggie, I've got a real short story to tell on my first campaign back in 2018. And it was a woman came up to me because she was so deeply disturbed about Donald Trump, but she had always voted Republican. And she said, I am absolutely pro-life. So I really have a hard time voting for a Democrat. So help me understand why I should vote for you. And I told her a story about a nonprofit I had been working with to help them achieve results and get where they wanted to go. And they helped unwed mothers, teenage unwed mothers who wanted to keep their babies in order to take the baby to full term, and taught them parenting and work with them through age 2 to 3 of that child. And what happened was, is they ran out of funding.
Yep.
Because they couldn't get enough people excited about the idea that of the work they were doing. So when I look at people and I say they're pro-life, what are you actually doing to help people? Or do you just want to see some entity or government say that we're just going to restrict it? So I always like to think, if you're actually pro-life, what are you doing about it? Because I agree with you, Maggie. All those other issues are also pro-life.
Yes.
So if you're going to stick to one, what about the rest? Because the Bible's a really big book.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz, my special guest host on today's episode of The Maggie Dawn Show. Join our conversation, a great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Let's go to the text lines. Jim from Appleton pointing out that Musk rapidly has taken control of the U.S. government. It's time to remind everyone that the leader of Germany in the 1930s was also a foreign national, just as Musk is here. Cam from Appleton saying this: I'm 99% sure the engineers Musk has sent to these agencies are building backdoors into the systems and copying a ton of data. Yeah, freaky.
Absolutely.
Do we trust in the benevolence of our billionaire overlords? Like, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Nope.
Larry from Deerfield, Musk and Trump know that Hitler did not have a mandate either. And Musk and Trump also know that Hitler was still able to impose his will on a very well-educated majority, some of whom cynically benefited from his authoritarian and autocratic governances in the short run. Absolutely. Mark from Prairie to Sex says this: if speech is now liberated, why can't I use any of George Carlin's banned words on broadcast airwaves? That is a good gosh darn question. And apparently the FCC, like, watch this space. What does the FCC do? Does civic media all of a sudden get, like, microscopically, regulatorily audited? Right? Like, who does the FCC come after? Watch that space. Let's see here. Want to keep going. Amy from Madison. My opinion, this idea of compromising on choice is the worst idea so far. We need to emphasize that we're dealing with class war, not culture war. Stop taking rights away from women. Amy, 100%. I have tried to always frame this in the culture issues, the pro-life of it all. They're very important. Real people are going to be hurt. Women are going to die. Babies are going to be dying. And I mean that because infant mortality goes up when you restrict the freedom to choose. That's weird. You're pro-life, but more women and babies are dying? All of that's important. But the Republicans have so effectively used cultural issues to create false divisions among us. I'm worried about the corruption. It's the money, damn it. It's the billionaire overlord and overlords that are taking control of our government that will help suppress and oppress working people. No more tax cuts for billionaires. Money ain't speech, and corporations aren't people. We continue this great conversation with each and every one of you when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you feel like your speech rights are being harmed by Donald Trump and Elon Musk? More on the Civic Media Network in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Nowhere to hide. I'm coming for you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. But I'm coming from you with a little help from my friends. We got Jess P.S. on the board. I got Tom Paulswitz with me. He is my special guest host every Thursday. And I have my new senior producer helping me keep track of all the amazing text messages and feedback from everybody. Thank you, Jamie, for reminding me that the FCC is already investigating the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They're coming after NPR and PBS. Hey, do you like Big Bird? Because Big Bird's now on the freaking chopping block. It is terrible, to say the very least. This is about mind control through information. Information removal, the removal, the scrubbing of data from government websites. We're going to get to more of that in our second hour because I am, as a data wonk, I am super freaked out about that, Tom. Let's take a couple more calls here. We got a first-time caller. So excited to hear from you, Chris from Janesville. Say hi to Tom. What would you like to say this afternoon?
Oh, my goodness. Hello, Tom. Hello, Maggie. On my days off, I always listen to won't mention the other broadcasters' names, but I always listen to you guys.
Look, thank you.
So, this, all of this scares the hell out of me. I would say prior to an incident that my wife and I had, I was all pro-life, you know, and when the incident happened, we couldn't be because but here's the thing. My biggest point is this, and this is my question to you. So I work 100% commission, and I use all the platforms to advertise where I work for. So I try to be so careful because I don't want to get kicked off a platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess it's not really a question, it's a statement, but...
Well, Chris, first of all, thank you for sharing your story about your family's experience with reproductive choice. I really appreciate that. So thank you for that. Secondly, and I wish, I hope that you and your wife, in places that you feel safe and heard, to share that with people. Because I think the more people can hear from folks like you and your wife, it becomes not some theoretical question or concept. It becomes a human issue and about care for each other. The second thing is, so many people depend on using social media for marketing, which simply gets to begging the question that Elon Musk's manipulation and control of this, the fact that this is all to the point of monetizing our time, capturing our attention by any means necessary to make the most money while they're asking for more and more tax cuts as they cash their billion-dollar checks, you know, you're putting your finger right on it, Chris. Thanks so much for the call. Tom, your thoughts?
I think this is, to me, the bigger picture is there's a chill.
Yes.
That is being created through a whole bunch of different mechanisms, including money, right? I mean, we've seen I would say the big news organizations in the United States right now, like I feel the only organization that's telling me remotely the truth right now is The Guardian.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading stuff in The Guardian.
And Civic Media, Tom.
Well, I'll say Civic. Well, of course, because we're on it. But I'm just saying, you know, if I want to actually find out what's really going on, I have to read The Guardian, which is a British publication.
CBS has bent a knee. They're cutting
CBS,
checks.
NBC,
Meta,
New York
NBC,
Times.
All of them, killing the op-eds. It's just pushing out veteran Pulitzer Prize-winning reporters and cartoonists. I also want to point out, hey, you call yourself pro-life, but apparently, thank you, Just PS, you're trying to cut Head Start, Meals on Wheels, cancer research, kids' school lunches. I mean, come on. Melissa from Madison, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to see you on my caller list. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hi. Thank you for having me on, Maggie and Tom. I've just been hearing some things about articles of impeachment going around. And so I'm just wondering if you have any kind of knowledge about that or information or insights as to, you know, those who would kind of go for the option of trying to get Donald Trump impeached at this point.
Fascinating. I had not heard that. I will tell you the punchline. That's going nowhere. What a ginormous freaking waste of time. Why are Democrats so damn bad at keeping their eye on the ball? Right? Like, keep your eye on the ball. The problem isn't Russell vote. The problem is the whole damn thing. Like, don't try to impeach the guy. You don't have 60 votes in the Senate, Tom.
Yeah, I would agree. I've actually read a story today that said there was a Congress person who was putting those articles together. I'm like, what a tremendous waste of time.
You know what it is?
Said, Maggie.
It is performative politics. Democrats do it too. By my definition, I don't mean the theater of politics. I don't mean political rhetoric. That happens.
Nope.
By performative politics, I mean doing something that you know is either going to hurt or have absolutely no impact at all because it gets your name in the damn newspaper. That is disgusting. My other definition of performative politics is doing something simply because you can, because there's an extraordinary power asymmetry and you want to remind someone that you're in charge.
Of what that is. Right.
I'm in charge here. I want to get to one text before we run out of time. Jordan from Madison. He's disabled and a veteran. He depends on SSDI. He is so concerned about these cuts, about these critical agencies that are in our communities. Yes. He depends on the local food pantry for his he and his wife's food security. Of course, we should do better about government waste, Jordan says. But we need to be looking at the DOD and the Pentagon and not the things that help keep good, hardworking Americans alive. Thank you, Jordan. We're going to take care of some top of the hour business. You're going to hear news, weather, and sports. I'm going to be right back with my special guest co-host, Tom Paulsiewicz. We're going to dig right into, well, they've promised us so very much, haven't they, Donald Trump and MAGA? How are we going to tell if any of it's working? All that coming up and more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.